how dirty
we had filthy. Some Pendleton folks there.
Yeah, there were a few. And if one thing I hate more than somebody from Anderson is somebody from Pendleton.
Will you stop? You know? Oh, my goodness. You know, ruined his career. Contempt for the audience, baby. You don't have to go there. You don't have to work blue, baby. Work
blue, baby.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And as you guys know, hey, this first of all, this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about sometimes the wrestling you grew up with. Sometimes we just talk. Right. Last episode, we just talked about stuff in life. This is a very special episode because it's a mystery to me.
Yeah, you have absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about.
The tables have been turned. There have been lots of shows where we've done a quiz or the PWI poll and you are oblivious.
Right.
We have a friend. You tell it. We have a friend, Kerry Trainum. We've talked about him. He's a recurring character on the show.
As I told him, he's kind of like Alice on Andy Griffith. We always talk about him, but you never hear him.
Yes. And Kerry took a four. He, you know, we didn't really do anything for our 40th birthday. Kerry went to Vegas. And from that trip, sent us a message. Hey, send me your address. I sent him my address, received nothing. This entire show is based on what Kerry sent us.
And I told him, I'm not even going to. He told me, I'm going to send it to you, not Heath, because Heath has children, and I'm afraid that they'll get into it before you have a chance to surprise Heath with it. They would get into it. So he sent me Jenna Jameson's phone number, and we're going to give her a call. No, I'm just kidding. He just grabbed your chest like, oh, Lord, what's he going to pull out of his pocket? Calm down over there.
Oh, goodness.
So he said, I'm giving you this because if I give it to Heath, his kids might find it, and they might get into it, and then it will spoil the surprise.
Okay.
It's not that it's nothing dirty.
Okay. So I was thinking Heath's kids might get into it and scar them for life.
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
All right.
So I get what I have in my pocket with a letter. Hope all's going well. I picked these up at a novelty toy store in Las Vegas last week, the same one that had the Randy Savage figure.
Yeah.
You'll have to know he sent us a picture of a cool Randy Savage figure. Given that they were still packaged, it felt like finding a time capsule. You guys do whatever you want with them. I thought it might be fun to open them on the podcast and come up with 8 to 9 match card based on who each of you got.
Yes.
I'm confident there will be some duplicates. I wish I had bought a few more packs to send, but in all honesty, and he goes, I was in Las Vegas for the weekend, and you know, he was in the toy shop that had an old Millennium Falcon for sale, and I wasn't thinking clearly.
Yeah.
Anyway, have fun with it. As a side note, I have really enjoyed the podcast over the past year plus. I'm not even a current wrestling fan per se, but the show has given me a much greater appreciation for what wrestling is all about and the work, thought, and art behind it. And I enjoy any podcast where there is passion about the material and chemistry between the hosts. Keep up the good work. I hope to join in an episode soon. Thanks, Kerry. P.S. Do not eat the gum.
Oh, yes.
So what he sent me was 2 packs of WWF WrestleMania 3 cards.
You can't open those.
From what I think is 1987.
I had that whole set.
Do you really?
Somewhere. They may be in my basement.
They may be.
We're going to eat the gum.
Well, I have 2 packs here.
Yes.
So yes. So you are going to open a pack.
All right.
And I'm going to open a pack.
Okay.
And we're going to see who we get. We're going to talk about the guys that we get.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to take all of the guys that we get and we're going to create a card.
Nice.
Out of who we have. And I think since Hulk Hogan's on the cover,
yeah,
that even if we don't get a Hulk Hogan card, we get to include Hulk Hogan on our list. We'll see who we get. So anyway, I'm going to toss this pack to you. Yeah. You think you can catch it?
I can.
I'm surprised. So,
9 picture cards and a sticker, 1 stick of bubble gum.
I want the stickers if you don't mind. since you have the set. Because I have a thing that
I don't know if I've got the set or not.
I have a thing I put stickers all over. So. All
right. Am I going too fast? Can I smell the gum?
You can.
Oh, this gum is disintegrated.
Oh, man, it is. I'll give you a dollar to eat a little piece of it.
A dollar?
It's like stuck. Oh, man.
Here, I need to take a... hold on. Where's my phone?
I need to flip all the cards around. Take a picture. So I can see them.
They're all out of order and everything.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take a picture.
Man. I got some good stuff here.
I'm not even looking at mine.
Yes.
I'm taking a picture of the gum.
So just you get them in line.
All right.
Okay. And you.
Oh, yeah,
just,
baby.
Just get them set up.
Oh, man.
And then we'll go through. Don't rearrange them. Just leave them in the. And then you say the first card you got, and I'll tell you the first card that I got.
Okay. So the way that I arrange mine. My sticker made it to the front.
Okay.
Ken Patera.
Nice. Ken Patera.
Is he in Mid-Atlantic Memories?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. He may or may not be.
I watched something recently with him. I don't know a lot about Ken Patera. He wasn't, he was because
Mr.
of his,
Saito.
Because of his, weightlifting prowess.
Right. He was out around the same time as Ric Flair in the AWA.
Yeah. I remember when he turned face mid-80s.
Yeah.
WWF.
Yeah. They went to McDonald's and wanted something to eat. They were closed, threw a rock through the window and got locked up. Did some time in prison. Yeah. You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He and Mr. Saito stopped in a McDonald's one night. And they were closed, and they wanted food.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't give them food. Apparently, they say that the McDonald's manager was teasing them. And anyway, they picked a rock up and threw it through the window.
I would not mess with Ken. If Ken Patera walked in here, I would pay him the utmost respect.
And they called the cops, and it took a bunch of cops to subdue him.
Oh, and I do remember that. Okay,
and so that was the Ken Patera. My first card. It says "Fantastic Body Press." Can you see who that is from here doing the fantastic body press?
I want to say Steamboat.
Okay. I'm going to read the back.
Yeah, please do.
Rick Martel of the Can-Am Connection bombs an opponent with a flying body press.
But the fantastic body press, that's not even what it's called.
Yeah, it says fantastic body press.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking flying body press.
No, they're just telling you that this is a fantastic body press performed by Heath's favorite wrestler, Rick Martel. It don't get no better than that. I got to tell you, it's all downhill from there.
The Rick Martel shoot interview is available at High Spots TV.
Okay.
This one is an action card, same as what you just had. Hearts Hit Concrete.
Nice.
And it's a picture of them landing on the pad on the outside of the ring.
Who is it? The
Hart Foundation? Jimmy Hart, Hart Foundation, and referee turned bad, Danny Davis.
Nice. Nice.
The Hart Foundation, with their buddy Danny Davis, sprawl on the arena floor after being tossed out of the ring by Tito Santana and the British Bulldogs. It happened at the opening of the WrestleMania 3 match.
Nice. My next card, speaking of the Hart Foundation, the Dynamite Kid.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We got a good match with him, and I'm just going to read you the back.
Yeah.
Packaged Power. That's the Dynamite Kid. He and Davey Boy Smith make up the British Bulldogs, former WWF Tag Team Champions. Many people consider Smith one of the quickest men in wrestling. He can strike from the mat or from the air with the power of a cannonball.
Oh, my.
The Dynamite Kid from the British Bulldogs.
So the sticker that I got,
you got a little piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I got it. It doesn't have anything on the back. It's a Hulk Hogan puzzle. So It's a Hulk. The sticker is Ken Patera on the front, there's nothing about Ken Patera on the back. It's a piece of a puzzle.
Well, since you've shown that, I'm gonna skip ahead two cards and show you my sticker.
Okay.
When I first started, I said I wanted the stickers. I don't think I really care if I get the stickers.
Yeah.
Now. Because I've got that referee, Danny Davis, is my sticker, and I've got a piece of the Hulk Hogan puzzle that is the world heavyweight title from the air.
Now, and that is maybe my favorite belt ever.
Really? More than the 10 pounds of gold? You like that Hulk Hogan WWF? It's not the Winged Eagle.
No. It's the one that he didn't carry. It's the WrestleMania 3 belt.
Right.
And it wasn't around for long, I don't think.
Yeah.
maybe WrestleMania 2, I don't really know, but yeah, that's a belt that that I would purchase if it were reasonably priced. So the next one I've got is I guess it's a quote from Jim Neidhart in the little TV there. Nice guys finish last. And it's the Jim Neidhart, and he's laughing. The superstars speak. Jim, the Anvil Neidhart. The way I look at it, only chumps go by the rules. Only one thing means anything to me, and that's winning, baby. It's easier to win by breaking the rules, and it's more fun that way.
Then allow me to tell you, we have our first duplicate.
Oh, good.
Because I also have the nice guys finish last from Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Nice.
So that is our first double.
All right, here you go. King Harley Parades. This is a ringside action. King Harley Parades. King Harley Race has his nose in the air. He parades around the ring after winning a match. Fans say that wearing a crown has really gone to his head.
We have our second
duplicate
of the day, because I also have the ringside action King Harley Parades, which was such a rib on the great Harley Race to bring him in, because the whole deal was Harley thought he drove faster than he could drink more beer, he could fight better. He thought he was the king of wrestling.
Yeah.
And they give him that gimmick. So I've always heard, just to humble him a little bit, but he took it and ran with it.
He did. Next, we've got Fighting the Full Nelson. Hercules Hernandez has, God rest his soul, has, and Assassin number two.
Yeah.
No, has.
Not Assassin number two.
Assassin number seven.
Yeah.
Has Billy Jack Haynes in the Full Nelson, and here's what it says. Fighting the Full Nelson. Billy Jack Haynes fights against the crushing power of Hercules Full Nelson in WrestleMania 3. The match was billed as the Battle of the Full Nelson.
I also have Fighting the Full Nelson over here. And if you've never seen that match, I would encourage you to go back and watch it, because it is snot bubble wrestling at its finest. Yes. Those two guys went out, like, I've heard them talk about, like, Billy Jack Haynes has talked about it, like, they just went out with this agreement that they were going to beat the dog slop out of each other, and they did.
Nice.
I mean, they hit each other stiff. They worked real snug, and it's a really, like, forgotten match. Not that you're going to watch it, and it's not like—
Probably only a 5 to 10 minute
match. It's not like Steamboat and Savage. Don't guess that. Well, Mark said it was this girl. I was expecting that. No, it's Billy Jack Haynes versus Hercules Hernandez. So you got to know what you're getting, but it's two big old bulls, two tough guys going out and working because they knew there were a lot of people around. It's definitely a match.
It's two guys that knew that Steamboat and Savage were going to wrestle on that card.
And we're going to steal the show. And that everybody was there to see Hulk Hogan and Andre.
And they're like, we're going to put on the best match we can
and
we do that.
And by doing that, we got to go out there and work stiff.
Yeah.
And they did. Speaking of, well, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I have the Billy Jack Haynes.
Oh, nice.
Card. Real tough guy. Like, legitimately a tough guy.
Yeah.
And there was some issues with it, based on the character Billy Jack from the movies. Have you ever seen the Billy Jack movies?
No.
Oh, you're missing out.
We've talked about this before,
you're just missing out. But it says, Billy Jack Haynes, master of the Full Nelson, is fearless. He is the kind of wrestler who will look opponents right in the eye and say, go ahead, brother, take a shot. They can try, but Billy Jack can take it and give it back harder. And once he clamps on his Full Nelson, his adversary is finished. Weighing 246 pounds. And he was a big deal in Portland. He's from he's got the Oregon colors on, the green and the yellow.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
He always wore those colors, but a real tough guy, and came back as Bad Blood in WCW.
Oh,
come out with the mask on, carrying the big axe, and yeah, that was Billy Jack Haynes trying a new character. And he, if you've ever heard the Billy Jack Haynes conspiracy theory.
What is the conspiracy?
Oh, it's, I couldn't even get into it.
Yeah. I know that Dan Spivey on Facebook has had some issues with Billy Jack Haynes recently.
Oh, really?
Billy Jack Haynes has
what?
Said just, Billy Jack Haynes said some things about Dan Spivey, and Dan Spivey just basically said, "I got to block him. He's just ridiculous. He's being
yeah. Crazy. He's you should go out of your way to hear his theories.
If you
like, I can't do them justice because yeah. it basically revolves around Vince McMahon murdering everybody who's died in wrestling.
Oh, good.
And actually being Daniel Benoit's father.
Oh,
yeah."
I don't think we need to go there.
No, he's got some out there theories, man.
All right, next. Kind of cheer. Let's put get a little cheery. It's American Made.
I also have American Made. I got a feeling. Kerry said that he had a feeling there'd be some multiples. I don't know that you have this whole set because we've almost got duplicates on every card.
Hulk Hogan is an American Made hero, born and bred in the USA. Wherever he goes, his fans are sure to follow, cheering him on to another victory.
Well, that was 1987, how the worm has turned. Last night, he posted a picture of himself on Facebook, shaking hands with a little black boy. Yes, he did. No, he was actually arm wrestling a young African-American child. And I just stop, Hulk. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's sad. Stop.
Now. Oh,
no, I don't have that one.
Uh-huh. Mr. Fuji and Killer Khan. Now, let's stop and talk about Mr. Fuji. This was during his managerial height.
Uh-huh.
His face is painted, so he's either managing Demolition or the Powers of Pain at this time.
Right.
Mr. Fuji and Killer Khan. Wait, Fuji, 265, Khan, 310. Fuji from Osaka, Japan. Khan from Mongolia, allegedly.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that sometimes people aren't telling the truth?
A lot of people don't remember. Killer Khan broke Andre the Giant's leg.
And I've heard people from that era say that he's one of those wrestlers that scared them when they were kids. I've heard a couple of guys say, like, if you grew up on that era of WWF, like probably right before Bob Backlund and Jimmy Snuka stuff, that to see that Killer Khan was a scary guy.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him. Around and like I can go Google it and sit here and pretend like I know who he is and know a lot about him, but I don't do that. That's not my gimmick.
Well, let me tell you a little something about him. With the cunning Fuji as manager, Killer Khan has ravaged his opponents just like his Mongol ancestors destroyed enemy armies. Killer Khan is a barbarian who knows no pity. Fuji is a manager who knows plenty about dirty tricks and illegal tactics. Together, they are fearsome. Now,
you know what? I miss like casual racism in wrestling when you could give a guy an ethnic stereotype.
So, on the back of this card, there is an avatar of a guy in wrestling trunks with his hands up by his face.
Okay, I've got
and
that.
And I think...
I've got that on my Dynamite Kid.
If I'm not mistaken, that is from a picture... That guy, that picture, the actual picture of the guy used to be in Pro Wrestling Illustrated all the time, and it was an ad for something. But yeah.
The guy, you've got the magazine where they put your picture on the cover of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
That's the guy.
That's the guy from that ad.
That's right.
Yeah. He looked kind of like Andre the Giant to me, or Bob Orton. But you're right. That guy's making that pose, yeah.
It looks legit like Brian Adidas.
There you go. That's another good one.
And if you know who a Brian Adidas is, this is the show for you. There All right, you what you got next?
I'm going to save my best one for last. But I have another
one. I'm going to be honest, Mark. I love Kerry, but I ain't got a best one.
I do.
Okay, what's your next?
Ringside Action, the backbreaker. We're getting a lot of Hercules Hernandez and Billy Jack Haynes stuff. Hercules gains a submission with his backbreaker. It's one of the most feared holds in the ring.
Is that So, wait a minute. Okay. Okay. I thought that the whole set was just about WrestleMania 3, but it's featuring WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, it's featuring WrestleMania 3 stuff.
Thinking too much.
Is that your last card?
No, I got two more after this. Axe and Smash on the front. Getting in the ring, we are the original Destroyers. Nothing stands in our way.
Like, they made a point of telling you they were the originals. I like that because they were such clearly a knockoff of the Road Warriors. Mark, I didn't know if you knew that.
Take that back.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
The thing we like most in life is to take other people apart. We're a two-man wrecking crew. They not only rip off the Road Warriors, but the Andersons.
Yeah, that's right. They're also a wrecking crew.
Yes.
Nice. I've only got one, so you keep
going. All right. Next,
we got
the
doubles. And
this is going to be fun to pair him up for our card. Out to eat a turnbuckle. George Animal Steel prepares to chew up a turnbuckle.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they got the sharpest minds in North America to write these cards.
George the Animal Steel, you know the story where he was a high school teacher and he like wrestled on his week and nobody knew?
No, nobody had a clue.
Nobody knew that he was.
And if you've ever seen him on a shoot interview talk, it is unnerving.
Yeah, because he is so well spoken and articulate.
He's like, yes.
He's so not the animals that
right.
you. And he was a big time monster heel for a long time. And by the time we started watching, he was just this lovable goof, you know?
Yeah. All right. What you got? What's your last one?
My last one, Her Eyes on Randy.
Elizabeth. I got that card.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth, the gorgeous manager of Randy Macho Man Savage, watches intently from ringside as her man tangles with an opponent. And she is looking ravishing as only she can look on the cover of this card. But she's got that damsel in distress look that she did better than anybody. Still to this day,
yes,
the classiest woman in pro wrestling history. Right here, Miss Elizabeth. I still have a crush on her.
Yep. Last but not least, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, Brett the Hitman Hart.
Nice.
Weight, 235 pounds from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Brett Hitman Hart is a member of the Hart Foundation with Jim the Anvil Neidhart. They hold the WWF Tag Team Championship. Rugged and tough, Hart is a great scientific wrestler who doesn't mind breaking rules to win. Mark, maybe a shadow of things to come. This is card number one in the set.
Nice.
Card number one.
Number one.
Don't know how many are in the set.
I don't either.
So are we supposed to mix our cards and do a card, or I'm doing a card and you're doing a card?
No, I think we just go with who we got and make one card. What do you think? Because I've got the main event already.
What's your main event?
If you... Well, look, we build to the main event. We don't tell the main event first, but I'll show you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking in their primes here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that's the main event?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So I can set those aside.
Yeah.
Okay,
and I think...
Oh, absolutely.
You just talked about him, Brett the Hitman Hart. And I want you want people up off of their seat for that first match. Then I think Brett the Hitman Hart versus the Dynamite Kid. I think that would be a good match.
I think that'd be a great match.
So we got Bret Hart versus Dynamite Kid. Elizabeth versus Elizabeth. That's about all we got.
Cat fight.
We don't have a lot to go from here.
No, because we had so many duplicates.
We have Rick Martel to choose from. We have Hercules and Billy Jack Haynes.
See, the only thing with using Brett in the singles match is then you got Neidhart left kind of by himself.
Okay. Well, who do you have?
I got Hart. I mean, I'm talking besides our main event. I got Demolition, so we got to have some sort of tag team match. I got Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation. I got George Animal. You got to put, to me, it's George Steele and Killer Khan.
There you go.
That's
a great match right before the main event.
Yeah.
I'll put that right before my main event.
So, and then I got, like you said, Hercules and Billy Jack. I got Ken Patera. Who is Rick Martel giving the flying body press to?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That might be a little loophole.
That's a job guy.
Yeah.
But what if we had the Can-Am Connection versus Demolition?
I'll go with that.
I mean, you know, that's not a bad little team.
No.
So we got the Can-Am Connection versus Demolition.
Who else have you got?
Well, we got Billy Jack Haynes and Hercules, who I think, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
I would.
Who do you got? You haven't told me everybody you've got.
You had Bret Hart, Dynamite Kid, so I'm going to set them aside. We got Demolition in a match. I got
with the Can-Am connection.
Right. So I've got Neidhart, Danny Davis, Billy Jack, Hercules, and Kim Patera.
So we put Jim Neidhart and Billy Jack Haynes. Okay. Because right. I want Kim Patera and Hercules, who are supposed to be strong men.
Yeah.
We're going to have them in an arm wrestling match.
There you go.
And that's going to turn into a brawl.
Yeah.
You know, where Hercules uses his chain. Hercules is about to lose. He uses his chain on Kim Patera and busts him open. And that leads us to a chain match between the two of them.
Good night, Mark. All best right. mind in the business right now.
So that's
right there off the top of your head, you came up with a better angle than TNA's had in 5 years.
Well, I appreciate that. So that was the setup for this match.
And you didn't have to email the president of the network by accident.
I didn't have to ask Vince Russo if it was okay.
Golly.
So I got a chain match between Jim Neidhart and Hercules Hernandez.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. Hercules Hernandez and Kim Patera.
Kim Patera.
And then we got Jim Neidhart versus taking on Billy Jack Haynes.
And Neidhart's got Danny Davis and Jimmy Hart in his corner.
There you go. We have the Can-Am Connection versus Demolition for the tag team titles.
Right.
We got Dynamite Kid versus Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title. And we're going to give them a good solid 30 minutes to have a great match.
Yes. Then we got
the main event.
Like Killer Khan versus George Animal Steel.
Right. And then in the main event, the All-American Hulk Hogan and Harley Race for WWF title versus NWA title.
With a double count out finish.
That's right, to make sure that everybody gets protected.
With, what's that guy's name? The referee who's the famous picture is him holding Backlund's belt and Flair's belt up.
I'm not sure.
McGowan.
Scrappy McGowan.
Scrappy McGowan. There you go.
So there you have it. There's the card. You want to run down it one more time?
Yes, opening match.
Our opening match. Let's not do Bret Hart and Davey Boy opening match.
Bret Hart and Dynamite.
That's what I meant. Bret Hart. That's our semi-main.
I got an idea, and I don't mean to add to your booking.
No.
You start out with the arm wrestling challenge.
Yeah. Okay.
Kim Patera gets busted open. And he's like, hey, later on we're going to have the chain match.
Then you got
the Neidhart and Billy Jack. Then you can have your tag team title match.
Yeah.
Then you can have...
Then you have the chain match.
Then you have the chain match. Then you got Bret Hart versus Dynamite, Khan versus Steel. So you take them up that Dynamite Kid match.
Right.
Bring them down with Steel and Khan, Hogan and Race.
How long was that?
We're at 27 minutes.
There you go.
But
maybe the shortest show we've done. But
we're going to talk about. No, we got to talk about Kerry.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to say.
No, but it does say a lot now because Kerry and I, our friendship, really came through a love for sports and baseball cards.
Uh huh.
And Kerry, if you're listening to this. And I hope you are.
I'm sure
this,
he will.
This is your show.
Yeah, this show is
Where
done.
Are all your baseball cards, buddy? You had some great baseball cards. We went to baseball card shows together.
Really? Matter of fact, I used to like baseball.
We got bored at a lock-in one time, and they had given out these Clemson basketball cards, and I just had some random basketball cards. And we just did before fantasy basketball was invented, we did what we called card basketball, and we would shuffle up the cards, and you picked. I invented fantasy basketball.
So that was probably a motivation for him doing this. I'm sure he remembered that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
Because when you saw what I had, you said fantasy basketball.
I said card basketball.
Yeah, card basketball.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So this was our deal, man. So I was, you know, now I want to go because I got to go get my vitamins when we go to lunch. I want to go in the basement because I know where these cards are.
Okay.
I want to go see what we got.
So, cool. So here's what we're going to do.
That's a guy. Great minds.
We're going to pause for the calls.
Yeah.
Bam. So we're not finishing the show right now.
Right.
We're going to pause and go over to the basement, get the cards.
Yeah. We're going to go to the other basement.
If you can find them.
Yeah. Oh, I know where they're at.
Then we're going to come back and we're going to see all the cards.
And we might go eat between that.
Yeah, we're going to go eat. So this is not part one of two. We're just going to take a little
part
break.
Part one of one.
Part one of one and a half. So we're just going to take a little break to go get the rest of the cards.
So what we would encourage you to do is just keep on listening, because it's going to be like we want to go.
Yeah, it's going to be. We're going to be gone for like 2 hours. And then what you're going to hear is, all right, we're back from lunch. And we're going to be a little bit more sluggish because we've probably eaten way too much because this is my cheat day. Like, yes. I'm eating like fish. I had fish for lunch yesterday. I had fish twice last week. I've eaten chicken. Other than the weekend with those burgers, like, I'm not eating a lot of carbs and stuff. I'm not drinking beer. I'm not drinking sodas. I'm not smoking anymore. And I feel wonderful and I hate it.
I love it. I love it.
Like, I like being a little bit miserable. You know what I mean?
So, but anyway. Yeah. So we're going to take our break. In the words of Cosmo Kramer, starting now. So I went to the other basement to retrieve what I thought was my almost complete set of these 1987 WWE cards, WWF cards.
Right.
Only to discover
that, much like the rest of your life, you've left them wanting more.
Yeah. I did find the Return of the Jedi cards, but did not find the 1987 WWF cards. What I did find, something I purchased at a 3-count show several months back for Drake, we did find some 1991 WCW cards.
Yeah.
So, not a lot of variety in these.
No, not at all.
Only three wrestlers featured on about 20 cards, and that's Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, and Sid Vicious. But mm-hmm. we're going to go through, read the backs of them, and compare that.
Because that ought to be entertaining.
But compare that to, we were making fun of some of the 1987 writing.
Right.
And just kind of show you
why WWF won.
Correct. Correct. Because WCW was behind the times. So here we go, Mark. I'll let you go first.
I've got Ric Flair in the green robe. It looks like it's got peacocks on it.
Oh, yikes.
Classic. Classic. On the back, also known as the Nature Boy from Charlotte, North Carolina. And his motto, I'm the latest and the greatest.
Ah.
The latest, I'm not so sure about. This guy had been around since the 70s.
Yeah.
Even in 1991, I can remember people going, Ric Flair, is he still wrestling?
Yeah.
I don't know about being the latest and greatest, but according to the back of the card, he is one of wrestling's leading men. He brings quickness, power, and plenty of flash to the sport. His reputation as a lady killer is well known and is matched only by his ability to master his opponents.
Mark, are you the master of your opponents?
I am. I punch them around daily.
Oh, my. All right, here's Arn Anderson, card number 49 of the set. Height, 6 foot. Weight, 249 pounds. Favorite holds, spine buster and DDT. I don't know that those would necessarily be holds, more moves. This legendary member of the Four Horsemen and winner of the TV heavyweight title made his way to fame and glory by using such brutal moves and holds as the Spinebuster and DDT. One thing is certain, you don't step into the ring with this man unless you have a lot of bandages on hand.
Well, let me tell you what my card says about Arn Anderson. I also have 6 foot, weight 249 from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes.
I think that's a lie. Arn, even his name is a snarl. Together with Barry Windham, Ric Flair, and Sid Vicious, he's one of the Four Horsemen. Four of the meanest, toughest, dirtiest sons of a guns you'd ever want to meet. Cross Anderson, and you'd better have good insurance. This is actually more entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
I knew how bad they were going to be. All right, I've got Sid Vicious. Here's a quote. If he weren't a wrestler, it's scary to think what Sid would be doing. This from Dennis Brent, the editor of Wrestling Wrap-Up. Whoever said there's no such thing as monsters obviously hasn't had to go one-on-one with this guy. Is he a monster? Well, at 6'9 and 316 pounds of pure power, most would give him the benefit of the doubt. The answer being yes.
The odd thing about Sid Vicious is most people know is he, I've said it before, if you drew up a prototype of a guy, you walked into a bar and saw him sitting there drinking a beer, wearing his, you know, acid wash blue jeans, no t-shirt, and a leather vest with that squared off jaw, and said, would you want to pick a fight with that guy? The answer is no.
Yeah,
I would not. But in real life, couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag, so they say. Brian Pillman beat him up one night.
Yeah.
He was going to get after Pillman with a squeegee or something, and Pillman took it away from him and beat him up. Brian Pillman, just a little guy.
Yeah.
You know, but he wore Sid out, allegedly.
Wow.
But I also have a Sid Vicious card that has his motto as being, you can run, but you can't hide. If Sid Vicious was a mountain, he'd be Mount St. Helens, purely for his ability to erupt and bring down destruction on everyone. A member of the Four Horsemen, this barbarian punishes his foes with an unmerciful savagery that is unmatched in wrestling today.
You see, whoever did this, they forgot they're writing for a trading card. Like the WWF stuff from 87 is very, it's for kids.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, you know, looking back 24 years, I mean, God, I can't even do the math. 30
you mean
years
when
later.
We were kids and we were watching it?
Right. And when you're kids and you're watching, it's like, oh man, that guy's tough. I wouldn't mess with him. This, if I'm a kid reading this, I'm like, I don't want to have to get a dictionary to read the back of a trading card, you know?
Because we didn't have Google, man. Have to pull the old encyclopedias out and look up Mount St. Helens.
Thesaurus, yeah. Oh, my. Ric Flair, a.k.a. Nature Boy. Hobbies, style, and profile.
That's great. His hobby is just, he just sits around styling. And sometimes when he's done styling, he feels like profiling.
Home, Charlotte, North Carolina. Is that a reversible suit this man of style is wearing? He turned against Sting, which is trademarked. That name is trademarked.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of trademarks.
And may have even masterminded the now famous attack outside his hotel. The plot took Sting out of contention, and Flair won the World Heavyweight title shortly after.
I also have a Ric Flair.
All right.
And on the card, it's Ric Flair with Lex Luger in the figure four. Mm-hmm. Now, the way it looks, Ric Flair is screaming in pain, so I'm thinking that Lex Luger's got him in the figure four. I'm not even thinking it. That's what's going on as I look at it. Lex Luger has Ric Flair in the figure four in this card, because I can see the way Luger's legs are not crossed over and Flair's are.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep that in mind when I read the back of the card, that Lex Luger is applying the figure four leg lock to Ric Flair. All Ric Flair can do is laugh as Lex Luger tries to escape from his vice-like figure four leg lock hold. This seven-time world champion is a true legend in the sport of professional wrestling, feared by opponents and respected by fans. So somebody that did, they took a picture, they had the write-up, and they got it wrong. That's an error card. Might want to hold on to that one.
Yeah.
it might be worth 10 cents instead of five.
All right. I got a Ric Flair card too. AKA Nature Boy, height 6'1", weight 245. I am the latest and the greatest. Only two people in the world will get away with saying that. One of them is Ric Flair. Most experts think Ric Flair will continue to separate the men from the boys. When he isn't, he'll likely be fighting off the ladies. I don't know who the other one is.
That's what I was going to ask. They tell you that only two people can make that claim. Who's the other guy?
It's 1991. I am the lady. Oh, Muhammad Ali.
Is that a Muhammad Ali quote?
It's either Muhammad Ali or Dusty Rhodes.
It's probably Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they would concede to Dusty Rhodes on that.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a Sid Vicious card.
All right.
6'9", notorious member of the Four Horsemen. When Sid Vicious joined the Four Horsemen, they could have easily changed their name to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So let's go back to the origin of that name, if you know it. When Arn Anderson said, you'd have to go back to the Bible, to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, to find this much destruction. Now, we're going to do a show about the horsemen, so we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But I'm not done. When opponents step into the ring with Sid, they're facing a force of cataclysmic proportions. He's evil in its most concentrated form. Concentrated evil. 6'9". 316 pounds.
Mount St. Helens.
Concentrated.
The master of his opponents.
The master and the ruler of the world. Sid Vicious.
Hey, how many cards do you have left? Did I split these evenly?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all right, 8.
We're good. Okay. I have a Sid Vicious card. 6'9", 316. Memphis, Tennessee. All right, so this is an error card, too. It says, Lex Luger gets a taste of canvas and rope as Sid Vicious, the newest member of the Four Horsemen, inflicts pain and misery on him. Whenever Sid takes to the ring, his victims are in for a bad day. So, says he's getting a taste of canvas and rope. He's got him under the ropes, and he's got his foot on his throat, and he's choking him, but his face is not touching the ropes or the canvas.
Yeah.
So it's another, not a face full of anything.
Another error card.
Yeah.
Error card. A lot of Sid Vicious in my stack. Because I have Sid Vicious, whose favorite hold is the power bomb, and Sid will be the first to tell you he's no blonde prima donna cutie pie. He has all the tools necessary to continue his reign of terror in the squared circle. As shown on the front of this card, Lex Luger is inclined to agree with him. And he has Lex Luger draped over the top rope, and Lex Luger looks like he's about to sneeze.
So tell me, what was the quote at the first of the card? I'm no what?
He's no blonde prima donna cutie pie.
So what I want to see is somebody go on the network, go wherever, find Sid saying that. I want you to find the promo where they're in the ring, and Sid says, I'm no blonde-haired cutie pie. And Lex Luger say, I agree with that.
You go, I'll agree with that.
He's right. Ric Flair, height 6'1", weight 245, motto, I'm the latest and the greatest. I see a pattern forming. Not only do women flip over Ric Flair, so do his opponents. The difference is the opponents don't want to. Unfortunately, Rick doesn't leave them a choice. Step into the ring with Flair, and you're in for all kinds of acrobatics. He's one wicked warrior. I've never heard Ric Flair called an acrobat.
You're right. I haven't either. Now, he did cut that one flip in the corner and then the flip off the top rope. I guess that made you an acrobat. Kind of like back then, throwing a drop kick made you a high flyer.
You know, you earlier you were talking about Brian Pillman being a little guy. He'd be a super heavyweight today.
Yeah, he would. He'd be the Vader of wrestling. So I have another Sid Vicious. And on the front, it's him once again. Squeezing the neck of Lex Luger, his favorite hold, the power bomb. The write up, it's Pain City for Lex Luger, trademarked, as Sid Vicious unleashes an all out attack. Aggression like this has earned Sid a reputation as one of the most savage beasts in the ring today. Also, one of the most savage beasts outside of the ring. As probably before these cards made press, he would stab Arn Anderson with some scissors at a hotel in Europe.
Yes. And Sid, if you're listening to this, Vader is still looking for an apology or for a thank you because he saved your life.
That's right. That's right.
So I've got two cards I want to do at the same time because whoever did these cards, okay, this is from Turner Home Entertainment. This is a billion-dollar company. These are the type of things that shouldn't happen. So, on one card, it's Ric Flair about to put Sting in the figure four, and on the back, height, weight, favorite hold, flying knee drop. That's on the back of the one where he's putting on the figure four. And this is what it says. Nature Boy Ric Flair has one of the pro wrestling's most worthy foes begging for mercy as he executes his famous flying knee drop on the down Sting. Ric Flair has all the right moves to be one of professional wrestling's greatest legends of all time. So this is a card saying he's doing the flying knee drop, in quotation marks, to Sting, when it is clear to even Ray Charles that he's about to put him in the figure four.
Another error card.
So on the other card, it's Ric Flair actually doing the knee drop on Brian Pillman.
About to put him in the figure four, right?
We got height, weight, home, Charlotte, North Carolina. Ric Flair's a pretty boy, but he doesn't just live on his looks. He's got the moves and the muscle to dispatch even the toughest opponents like Lex Luger. That's how he hangs on to the world heavyweight title. So they're saying he's fighting Lex Luger. That is clearly Brian Pillman.
Yep.
So did the people that wrote these cards, did they, number one, watch wrestling? And number two, see the pictures of the cards?
I'll bet you they took the pictures, had everything written up, and sent it to a company, and they just paired the stuff up.
It's probably owned by Russo.
Probably. I have another Sid Vicious.
All right.
Words to live by from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm no blonde prima donna cutie pie.
Oh, my.
So apparently he said this was his motto at the time. I don't remember that. But apparently,
I've never heard the man say that.
These were his words. I know that he is half the man that you are, and he has half the brain that you think he has. I do know that. And
we're live here, pal.
Yes, and let me do this over again. This skyscraper trademark turned horseman throws a big shadow and a mean punch in World Championship Wrestling, especially now that he's under the tutelage of Ric Flair. As a graduate of the School of Dirty Tricks, he's the last guy you want to turn your back on.
All right, Ric Flair card, height, weight, motto, I'm the latest and greatest. Anyone who has ever gone one-on-one with Ric Flair in the ring can tell you he's a force to be reckoned with. Not only do his smoldering glances turn his opponent's knees to jelly, but outside the ring, they tend to have the same effect on the ladies. And it's him wearing his robe and smoldering glances. Oh, my goodness. Tony, what's he going to do? It's Rick. Oh, it's a smoldering glance. That move should be banned. That move should be banned.
That's right.
That guy's got a family.
That guy's got a family. Don't be throwing smoldering glances at him. Ah, good old homoeroticism.
Oh, dear.
I have another Sid Vicious. This time it says, vengeance wears an ugly scowl. If it smiles, it does so over a hapless victim. Sid Vicious joined the Four Horsemen with a single dark obsession to tear Sting to pieces. He fears nothing. Where he goes, an ambulance is sure to follow.
You did that voice. It made me think of Black Scorpion. And on one of the Facebook groups, this guy has the mask, the actual mask signed by Ric Flair.
Really?
And
wonder where he got that at.
He talked about he said where he got it. I think he got it like in the dressing room after. No, Flair, he was a photographer, and Flair, they just kind of threw it out of the ring, and he got it, and he took it to Flair in the dressing room afterwards, and Flair's like, I'm not gonna need that ever again.
Yeah.
And the guy kept it and then took it to a show and got it signed.
Huh. Well, that's cool.
So Ric Flair. So this should be on the back of the card I said where he had Sting in the figure four, because this one's just Flair standing in robe. Here's Ric Flair predicting Sting's future. Sting, my friend, you're running around with a bad leg on borrowed time. Now, that's in quotes, but
well,
I don't think
he said it.
Rick's threatened more than once to reacquaint Sting with a hospital bed, and with over a decade of experience in the ring, he just may do it.
Well, I've got a Ric Flair here, and it says, a.k.a. the Nature Boy. With his flaxen hair and flamboyant style, Ric Flair mesmerizes wrestling audiences across the nation. Always a sharp dresser, he's got more moves than outfits. When you're up against the Nature Boy, you can always expect a tough fight.
All right, this is my last Ric Flair. Favorite, you know, a.k.a. Nature Boy, home, da-da-da-da. Favorite hold, flying knee drop. I don't think that's his favorite hold.
I don't think it is either.
This seven-time...
No chop. Nothing about the chop.
No.
Yeah.
This seven-time world heavyweight champion is a fierce and cunning competitor. Noted for his flamboyant style, Flair is respected by his fans and feared by everyone with any sense at all. When he enters the ring, you'll see the sparks and his opponents go flying.
I've got Arn Anderson. His favorite holds, spine buster, and DDT. Yes. I'll go along with that. Arn Anderson often holds back until the last possible second, then delivers devastating holds on unsuspecting opponents. Any wrestler who finds himself facing the enforcer, in quotation marks, might expect a hospital visit. Arn seems to be a guy who likes to see his works of art hanging in public places. That's great, man.
His works of art.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, this is my last card. This is Sid Vicious. He's got Sting in the corner. And weight 316, home Memphis, Tennessee. Favorite hold, powerbomb. Ever since Sid Vicious became one of the Four Horsemen, his favorite guy to beat up is Sting. Arn Anderson, another horseman, warned Sting, "Big Sid Vicious is watching you." He has been programmed to hunt you down and destroy you.
Well, I have my last Sid Vicious card, and then I have one more. And it says Sid Vicious' greatest achievement, joining the Horsemen for a cup of coffee. Every time Sid gets near a scorpion-like Sting, he gets a little crazy. And every time the Stinger gets near Sid, well, he gets a little nervous. That's because Sid likes to smash him with his favorite hold, the power bomb. It's a great way to get rid of insects. Wasn't that the first card you read? I think it might be. Does it have him holding Sting up over his head?
No, I think that when we came in and we were just talking about what we were going to do.
Oh, okay.
I read that one to you.
Well, my last card, Ric Flair, his motto, not to be the man, you got to beat the man, not Space Mountain. Not all the other things you can think of that Ric Flair might have said over the years. Not even a woo. His motto, I'm the latest and the greatest.
Yeah.
I like this one. And this will tell you how long ago it was. Allegedly, President Bush's favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair has earned the respect of thousands of friends and foes alike. Whether you love him or hate him, there's one thing you've got to admit. Ric Flair is... and always will be a wrestling legend. No better way to wrap up that than talking about Ric Flair being the greatest.
So I want to tell you something real quick. As we were going through the cards, Sting kept popping up.
Uh-huh.
And if you're listening to this, you guys know I'm a pastor, you know, do a lot of work in the Wesleyan Church and pastor a church out in Westminster. And sometimes you got to keep those things separate.
Uh-huh.
I remember a guy, and this is, oh my goodness, this is probably at least 15 years ago, maybe more. There's no chance he's listening to this. I saw him at an event, and he said, "Man, you watch wrestling, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "I can't believe those guys." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I can't believe that guy had the audacity to call himself Sting." I said, What do you mean? Because the music, he's like, "No, because Jesus took the sting for me."
Oh.
And nobody should be able to use that name. And I just thought,
was he serious?
He was dead serious.
Took the sting?
Jesus took the sting for me. And that guy ought not to be able to use that.
Where is that?
I don't know.
Okay, so now that's what I'd like to say about a lot of people. They just decided that something was in the Bible and figured.
No, I don't know. He didn't say it was.
But what I mean is, he's just making stuff up and applying it to somebody else's life. What that guy is doing ain't got nothing to do with him. But he woke up one day and decided, I don't like his name.
And I'm so miserable. I'm going to tell you about it.
But I'm going to seek somebody out and think he needs to change everything about himself because in my mind I've concocted something that he's done wrong. There you go. And that's pretty much how I feel about things.
Now, see, the difference between me and you is I just kind of nodded blank stare and walked away, trying to just get away as fast as I could.
Right.
I think you would have put that man in his place.
No, I wouldn't have. I don't care enough.
Oh, there's
to engage with a lot of that kind of stuff.
I would share another thing. Off air, I'll share another thing that he said.
Why can't you say it? He's not going to listen.
No, I mean, you'll understand when I tell you.
Okay.
So, carry train him.
Wait. I'm not done.
Okay.
Because what I would like to do now is create a super card.
Okay.
Okay, because I want to use Ric Flair.
Uh-huh.
Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Sid Vicious.
Yeah.
Lex Luger.
Sting
and Brian Pillman.
That's who I got. Yeah. I got Ron Simmons.
Sting, Brian Pillman. I think that we
can. Arn Anderson?
Yeah, I said Arn Anderson.
Okay, sorry.
So I think now things start. Who do we have on the others? We got Dynamite Kid. Harley Race. Hulk Hogan. Bret Hart.
Hart Foundation. Killer Khan. George Steele. Demolition. Ken Patera. Billy Jack Haynes. Hercules.
So, I think you have to take Lex Luger and put him against Hercules Hernandez.
I would agree with that.
Because our Hercules Hernandez card is the backbreaker, which is the torture rack.
Yes.
So you got torture rack versus torture rack. So you got Hercules versus Lex Luger.
Yes.
In one match. Let's see.
Would you put Sid versus Billy Jack or Ken Patera? Or somebody else?
Well, let's talk about Sid. That's a good question.
Or you do Sid Babyface versus Killer Khan. That he's finally coming in and Killer Khan.
You're getting hung up on Sid Vicious, and I'm trying to decide whether I want.
Sorry. I'm trying to get the undercard out of the way.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
I got Dynamite Kid, and I've got Bret Hart, and I've got Brian Pillman and Arn Anderson. Do I want to see Bret Hart versus Arn Anderson?
Mm.
Or do I want to see Brian Pillman versus Bret Hart? Or do I want to see Brian Pillman versus the Dynamite Kid? Because I think Brian Pillman versus Dynamite Kid is an incredible match.
I think you're right.
So that's where we're going with Dynamite Kid
and Brian
versus
Pillman.
Brian Pillman.
Absolutely.
We got that. So that leaves.
And that's a match we've never seen.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. And we never really, that I know of, got to see a good Bret Hart versus Arn Anderson match. They did. They had the Brain Busters. So they would do it. So I know those guys can have good matches.
Yeah.
So why not take Brian Pillman, or I'm talking Arn Anderson and Bret Hart? Or there's a picture of, is there a picture of Barry Windham? I don't think so.
I don't have Barry Windham.
Because Bret Hart and Barry Windham would have been a good match.
Ooh.
But since we.
What about Bret Hart and Sting?
Well, we saw it, though.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of stuff that maybe.
I've blocked out certain years of WCW from my mind.
Yeah, but now I guess in their primes, we never got to see Sting and Bret Hart. So, like, when we saw them, it was old bitter Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And Crow Sting.
Yeah.
But maybe to see, like, Bret Hart in his prime when he didn't have so much on him.
Yeah.
Face Sting, what he might could have. So, okay, I can see that to you. Let's go Bret Hart versus Sting.
Okay.
But now I got to find something for Arn Anderson to do.
Yeah.
And I guess you got to go Ric Flair Hulk. Do we go Ric Flair Hulk Hogan?
That's too safe.
Okay.
That's too safe a pick.
What about Arn Anderson and Harley Race?
Versus Harley Race?
Yeah, Arn Anderson versus Harley Race. I'd like to see that.
How do you... Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a weird... Like, I can't imagine what that match would look like.
No, I can't either. That's
like
why I'm
most
kind
of them, I can see them in my head. I don't know how Arn Anderson and Harley Race
I don't know
work.
How they would work together.
I don't either. And that's what intrigues me.
Yeah, it does intrigue me.
It would either be really, really good or really, really bad.
Really, really... Yeah, I think... I'd have to think they would make it good. They'd make it great.
You would hope. You would hope.
So we still got Demolition, Ken Patera, Billy Jack, Hogan, Flair, Neidhart, Killer Khan, George Steele, and
Flair. So if I can end their prime stuff, then I take George Steele back to when he was a big monster heel, and I put him against Hulk Hogan. I'm not talking about turnbuckle chewing, green tongue. Right.
You're talking about
mine holding the bear. I'm talking about the real killer, George the Animal Steele, back in that era.
I can see that. Never seen it before, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's our show. We do whatever we want to.
We can do what we want to do. So, and that's what Hulk Hogan was good at, was beating the evil guys.
Yes.
Beating the monsters. Yes. And I'm not, there again, you have to remember, I'm not talking about
right
goofy George Steele. I mean, George Steele, when he earned the nickname The Animal.
Yeah.
When he was facing, you know, with Gorilla Monsoon and Bruno Sammartino back in that era.
When eating a turnbuckle wasn't a gimmick, he ate a turnbuckle because he was hungry.
Right. There you go. So George Steele versus Hulk Hogan. Now we got to do something with Ric Flair. We haven't put Ric Flair on the card. Who's he wrestling?
Killer Khan.
No.
The Masters of the Flying Knee Drop. We got Flair, Neidhart, Billy Jack. We got Demolition still. Flair, Neidhart, Billy Jack, Patera, Killer Khan, and Ric Flair. So one, two, three.
So you're telling me I don't have room on Ric Flair?
I'd go Ric Flair, Ken Patera. The guys trained together.
Yeah, but do you really want to see? I mean, who's the, you know, where's the marquee value in that match?
We ain't got Sid Vicious in a match yet.
True.
We got eight guys left.
Who? Who are they?
Killer Khan, Sid Vicious, Ken Patera, Billy Jack, Demolition,
all right. Neidhart. Well, I'm putting Billy Jack Haynes and Sid Vicious together because it's going to be bow and shoe ugly.
What, you putting who together?
Sid Vicious and Billy Jack Haynes.
Oh, gosh.
Because that's an ugly match.
Are we allowed to split Demolition and have Repo Man and Mask Superstar?
That's what I was about to say. What if the Mask Superstar came out and wrestled Ric Flair? It's Bill Eady. I mean, it's our show. We can make the rules up as we go.
All right. I'm going to throw this at you. Okay. Mask Superstar, Bill Eady versus Ric Flair.
Uh-huh.
Then you got when he was the original Crusher Screw Chef, which I think Mid-South and Jim Neidhart, they were a tag team.
Okay.
Jim Neidhart and Crusher Screw Chef, and put them against, I don't know who would be the face or the heels in this, but you do Ken Patera, you maybe turn Killer, somehow you turn Killer Khan face, and you got the Mongolian American connection with Ken Patera. And
so you know who we forgot was Rick Martel.
Rick freaking Martel.
So you could do Ric Flair versus Rick Martel.
Nah.
I mean, I've seen the match. I remember when Rick Martel came out to Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Let's hear it for the... Oh, so that... What about this? Man, I don't know. What about Ric Flair and Rick Martel versus Demolition? I don't know. I forgot about Rick Martel.
Yeah.
We got Danny Davis.
Hey, let's not forget Miss Elizabeth.
She ain't wrestling anybody.
She's managing Hulk Hogan.
Yes. And George Steele is infatuated, but not infatuated. He's trying to eat it. No, well, let's not go there. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Rick Martel. I don't have all the cards in front of me, so I'm struggling.
I don't either. I don't even know the card we made up.
All right, we got Hogan and George Animal Steel.
Yeah.
Harley Race versus
Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson. Sting and Bret Hart.
Dynamite Kid versus Brian Pillman. Or, man, I mean, I hate to do it. Maybe Ric Flair versus Dynamite Kid. And then Brian Pillman versus Rick Martel. I just think that the Dynamite Kid Brian Pillman match is going to be great.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And people think it's easy to book a wrestling territory when it matters.
Yeah.
See what goes on.
Yeah.
When you're just trying to do it with playing cards and it don't matter.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
So anyway,
I think we've got a pretty good card. The rest of these guys will do WCW style, fly them first class, pick them up in the limo, sit them backstage for 4 hours, don't use them.
Tell them not. Yeah. We'll fly Ric Flair in and tell him we don't have anything for it.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
So anyway.
Oh, and Ric Flair versus Mass Superstar.
Yeah, Ric Flair versus Mass Superstar.
And then you got Neidhart.
We don't have to use everybody. That's a pretty good card.
Pretty good card. That's a five or six match card, yeah. I'd buy a ticket.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And we booked matches nobody'd seen before.
That's right. That was what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that's happened since we started the show is our wrestling sensibilities have changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And like the things we used to default to, we intentionally try not to default to those things. Like 6 months ago, we would have made Flair versus Hogan the main event of our card.
Right.
But
we've already done that.
Yeah.
And our show is just a podcast. Maybe WWE should consider not putting the same matches on TV every week.
Oh, my goodness.
That their main event. We 6 months ago do a card with Flair and Hogan, and we don't want to do Flair and Hogan again
right
on here, but they'll show you Seth Rollins versus John Cena every night of the week.
Yeah. It's like if you watch the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday, if they showed it the next Sunday night, you'd have some people watch. You show it the third Sunday night, fewer. Your viewers is going to keep dropping off because they know what's going to happen.
Yes. And that's nothing. Nothing's going to happen but 50-50 booking until we get to the pay-per-view, and then they still probably going to have a non-finish. Wow, distraction roll-up, the move of the day.
Listen, you know where you can't expect what's going to happen is this show right here. Because you never know. Hey, let me just go ahead and put the challenge out there. Feel free, contact us on Twitter, okay?
Go ahead.
At Heath Mulliken.
At the DDK Show.
Send us something. Just do what Kerry did. What a great idea. Send us an old wrestling magazine. Send us Jenna Jameson's phone number. I don't care.
Send us money.
But, hey, send us. We'll book anything. Book on the fly, call it in the ring, whatever you want to call it. That's what we do because we're the Double Dropkick Show. We're the show that doesn't give you the same
thing. What other show out there opens up trading cards and reads the back of them off to you?
Right. To show. Yeah.
And I feel like made it entertaining.
You're dang right we made it entertaining. And nobody else could do that. Listen, you're either going to listen to a wrestling podcast that's going to give you the play-by-play of an old card, which we've done before. That's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You're going to get a wrestling podcast that's going to be a two-hour review of a horrible Raw. That sucks. Or you're going to get a wrestling podcast from experts in the industry that have inside information that no one else has. Those are the podcasts we listen to. This show is about two guys going out there night in and night out, 8 nights a week, baby, twice on Sunday, because we're the latest and the greatest. We are the master of our opponents.
And I am no bleach blonde cutie pie.
Preach it, brother. He is not a listen, a Sting. I'm
prima donna cutie pie.
Listen, Sting, you need to know that Mark Whitman has been programmed to hunt you down and destroy you. So, doubledropkick.com, download us on iTunes, download us on Stitcher Radio. Click on a banner. please yes. click on a banner. Go to, you know, what I'm hoping is we're reading these cards and you're thinking, hey, I'd like to see what's on a wrestling card today. Go to your nearest Walmart or comic book store, card store, whatever. Buy you some wrestling cards. Relive your childhood. Be young again. Remember the innocence of your youth.
Yeah. I like this Hulk Hogan card.
The American made one?
Yeah. With him holding the flag, walking toward the camera. That's a great card, man.
Yeah, and he's looking right at the camera.
He's looking right at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Such a great card. I wish that was a sticker. I'd like to have that for my... Man, that's awesome. And I'm not sure that that's not a drawing.
No, it's not. It's a picture. And I think...
It's been touched up.
I think, if I am not mistaken, that... That the poster on the back of the stickers makes that picture.
I think it probably does, yeah. Heath, I'm telling you, some of that is drawn. Look at the way his arm, where it's laid over his shirt. Look at that strong black line. That's not a shadow. That's drawn.
Wait a minute.
I think his face might be real, but I think they've touched that photo up to make it more artistic. Oh, they
definitely touched the photo up.
Yeah.
Because especially the tape on his wrist looks a little...
You see what I'm saying?
They've accentuated. Yeah,
that's not... They touched that up artistically. That was before Photoshop, where somebody took the time to go in and paint shadows on his arms to make them more defined. I mean, that's a commitment to your craft.
We just don't see it anymore.
That is why, whether you like it or you don't like it, WWF is the latest, or WWE is the latest and the greatest, because... I mean, they just an attention to that detail as opposed to a card where Ric Flair is in the figure four and it says on the back that he has Lex Luger in the figure four.
Or a card that says he's performing his flying knee drop.
Right. And you have the WWF, even in 1987, caring enough about the picture of their flagship, Hulk Hogan, to touch that picture up with paint to make it look better.
Yeah. None of these other pictures are touched.
No, but that one is.
Yeah. Well, I say that.
They may be, man, if you go back and start looking through them.
No, they're not. You know who I'd want to talk to is all of my pictures say, most of these say copyright Steve Taylor, Titan Sports. That's the guy I want to talk to.
You're right.
And just say, Steve, give us the skinny. Is touched up.
Excellent work, my friend. Excellent work. That's what I'd want to say to it.
Yes. Thank you very much. So the goal is I'm going to go through my mom's basement and see if I can find the other cards. Maybe we do a follow-up show on that.
Yeah. I think the card thing's probably played out.
No.
See, that would be doing what we just said they don't need to do, going back to the well and doing something over and over again.
You see what I did there, right? Uh-huh. Don't you? Hey, so anyway, there you go. Do all that. Go social media.
So if you got some cool stuff, don't send us anything valuable. But if you got some cool stuff, right, and you just want us to talk about it on the show, send it to us. We'll go through it, and heck, we'll keep the stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So the wrestling you grew up with, that's our group on Facebook. Go like our Double Dropkick page. Give that thing a big thumbs up. Give that thing a like. And, hey, we'll see you at a wrestling show somewhere. Watch the wrestling you want to watch. We'll watch the wrestling we want to watch. And here we'll come together and talk about the wrestling you grew up with. So for the
that was good, my friend. I like that. Thank you. It's almost
it's as if I'm a professional speaker,
orator.
So anyway, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken
and I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.